What's the next song?
The one about me.
Oh, yeah. I like this one.
What?
Like Jimmy said.
Don't always seem to go. That you don't know what you've got to lose.
Look, man, I may have all this gray in my hair and my beard and my mustache, but that's Janet Jackson. man, not a whole lot of guys my age who would have been able to pick that out, right, before it even gets into it, right?
Yeah, this is classic 90s Janet right here.
Yeah, all right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Let's see, the 90s. Man, that's 30-some-odd years ago.
1997.
Man.
I wasn't born yet. Wasn't alive.
Man, and yet I remember it. And you know it.
Yeah.
But anyway, man, your parents didn't tell you about that one.
Nah.
No, I know. I'm sure they didn't. But anyway, before we went to break, I was talking about the kind of things I like to do on the radio. And I think part of what we should be doing on the airways is educating the populace to things that are really, really important. And we should be asking the questions why our government would allow things like what I'm getting ready to talk about go on. It's hard to even trust the government. I understand what some say, and I've got various reasons why I don't trust the government, be it Democrat or Republican, because we constantly talk about the greatness of our nation, but you shouldn't be fearful that your nation is going to do something to harm you and your family, that corporations be allowed to do it. And the reason I say the government, because the government can control corporations. It shouldn't be corporations controlling government. It should be the other way around. Government should be dictating to corporations what they can and cannot do as it relates to the American people. And that's where the problem and the disconnect is. It's the other way around. And the corporations have the power to control the government, which in turn means controlling and the poisoning of the American people. You may not want to hear it, but none of you can defeat me in that narrative, because what I'm saying is absolutely 100% correct. So 94% of prepackaged and homemade U.S. baby foods contain toxic heavy metals. That's not a mistake. Okay? This is true. 94% of prepackaged and homemade U.S. baby foods contain toxic heavy metals. The FDA must go beyond the baby food aisles and set strong standards for these contaminants, said the National Director of Healthy Babies Bright Futures. Almost all of the baby foods that parents in the United States feed their children, again, in the United States, is not allowed in other nations. Feed their children. Almost all of the baby foods that parents in the United States feed their children, whether purchased at the store or prepared at home, contain detectable amounts of toxic heavy metals that can impair brain development, according to a new research published Thursday, which led to renewed demands for improved regulation. Okay. So the reason they're allowed to put toxic metals in baby food is because our government won't regulate what the corporations are doing. And we, the American people, don't know Or we're so jaded, some are so jaded that they protect the corporations, even in the face of poisoning children, for the sake of profit and capitalism. What is wrong with us? You know, we run around, tout the greatness of our nation and these other nations, which won't allow that. Those nations will not allow this baby food in their nations, in their countries, to be fed to their people. Why do we, as the American people, why do we allow it? Well, maybe you don't know. And so maybe that's why I said it's why I like to bring these types of stories to you. Now, you may say, well, Earl, he's lying. Hey, you can do just what I did. Go on the internet, click in toxins in baby food, and you'll see that what I'm saying is 100% correct. And if you know it then it's incumbent upon you to do something about it. Tell somebody else. You know, people die in this country because they're being poisoned from birth. I mean, we're all going to die anyway. But I'm talking about dying unnecessarily. You know, there's a reason why in our nation people are almost in the most developed of all nations. We have more sick people than any of these other nations because the people are being poisoned by corporations and because our elected officials are in cahoots with them. That's what this is. Let's go to my friend Tom from L.A. Hey, good morning to you, Tom. How you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call.
Good morning.
I'm a troublemaker, right? I'm a troublemaker.
No, you're not. Good morning, Earl. First off, we the people are ultimately the government. And I am a proud FDR Democrat who believed in government. What people don't understand, and I really think this is a really something that should be hammered every single day, there is a difference between private and public. Public means that we, the people, own the commons. It means that we own whatever it is that the government is doing collectively because we pay for it with our taxes. It is not for profit. It is for the public good. Private means that, like you were talking about before, you can't say certain things when a corporation or a personal owner owns something. Your free speech goes out the window because of the fact that when it's private, you have no control. So why people keep on voting in favor of these corporations that don't have to live under the same rules as the public does? Because public means that it's nonprofit. Private means it's all about profit. And it's such an important thing that people need to understand. You talk about charter schools. You talk about, you know, private schools. That means they're there to make a profit. Public schools, it means that it's owned by all of us, everyone, because we pay taxes into it. We're not looking to make a profit. And I think that if everybody out there could understand the difference between private versus public, maybe they would stop voting against their own best interest. Because the truth is, when a private corporation does something, you don't have a lot of redress. When a public official or public does something, then you can vote their butts out of office and get someone in there that actually will stand up for your rights. So, and people need to understand, do you want to have control over your life, or do you want the private corporation to tell you, you know, how great it is?
Again,
the number one problem is Citizens United.
So the
politicians are bought off.
So Tom, so who in their right minds would knowingly feed their child this? Healthy babies, bright futures, found that 95% of the pre-packaged baby foods tested were contaminated with toxic heavy metals, including lead, arsenic, and mercury, sparking a congressional investigation and conversations about whether homemade baby foods are a safer alternative. What are you talking about?
I will tell you this, Earl. When you get a Republican FDA in there that does not believe in government, they strip that thing down to nothing where the FDA doesn't work. And you know what? And the thing is, I don't think people know. All people do is watch the baby food commercial on TV, just like they do the drug commercial on TV, because if it's not on the TV, it's not reality, I guess, for some people. And they believe what it is that the TV is telling them. Like I told you before, you take a private drug corporation, they show you all these things on the ad about how good it is, and then they talk about the side effects, and right there is when all the action happens in the commercial, so people can take their eyes off of actually what the side effects are. My God, we talk about the side effects of a COVID vaccine. Watch one of those commercials. Why would someone even take it? Why would someone feed their baby food?
You know, Tom, and I know there are many people listening, and sometimes I think people are just afraid, you know, of thinking that there'll be reprisals. I'm not afraid of there being reprisals for what I'm saying, because I know what I'm saying. Huh?
You and me.
Yeah, I'm saying what I'm saying is the truth. You know?
Yeah.
And so if you're poisoning children, it's no wonder that we've got you know, young people walking into schools and with AR-15s. Yep. And shooting up the place. They're being poisoned from the time they're babies.
That's why I wish people would just look up the difference between private versus public. The Republicans want to privatize everything. There are some Democrats that want to privatize things that are bought off by the corporations.
Hey.
But we got to get back to we the people being the government, and it is about the public, and we own it.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call, man. We got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be back.
You don't know what you've got till it's gone. You don't know what you've got till it's gone. She's so persuasive.
Ooh. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. You know, I have to say it. I have to do it. But listen to this. This is a story in the Salon. This morning, understanding the Southern Baptist scandal for evangelicals. Listen to this. Women can't say no. So yes, the Bible tells women to submit to their husbands. In one verse, for some believers, that's plenty. So the Southern Baptist Conference, under investigation by the Department of Justice due to numerous claims of egregious sexual abuse and sexual harassment within the denomination. Perhaps people wonder why there is such an overabundance of sexual misconduct of various kinds within the evangelical circles. The truth is that many believers in Christ have struggled with what was right and wrong in regards to their genitalia. Is the creator of the universe worried about our private areas? Only I can talk about this, Connor. For most conservative evangelical Christians, it is apparently all God thinks about. As an ordained and evangelically trained minister, I tend to agree. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. That's Ephesians 5. Can barely get through 1 week of evangelical radio where this scripture is not discussed. It is one of the evangelical community's favorites, and one believer often refers to when they discuss the downfall of American society. They contend that it is all went to hell almost literally when women decided to be equal to men in the home. Then came Gloria Steinem, Geraldine Ferraro, and eventually the ultimate devil herself, Hillary Clinton. These women represented the end of the American family and then the end of God's influence upon American society. So what am I talking about? What are they talking about in this article? Submission to your husband is not simply a suggestion in the evangelical church, but a command put upon every married woman. So, women, Christian women, you commanded to submit to every married woman to your husband based on the scriptures. Now, I constantly hear people talking about Islam and how they mistreat their women. Rarely, if ever, do I ever hear anything talked about Christianity and some of the tenets in Christianity that demand and control of the women, and that the husband should control the woman and the woman should basically capitulate to whatever it is the man basically wants. And so in reading this article, this is no more clearly on display than in the sex life of an evangelical married couple. Simply put, a wife cannot refuse their husband when he wants to have sex. You hear that, Christians? She is a sinner for refusing her husband and then can be held responsible for any sexual sin her husband may commit afterwards. Naturally, with there being the basic mindset, accusations by women regarding sexual abuse or harassment seem ridiculous to the majority of conservative evangelical men. Wait a minute. Are you sure that's not the Holy Quran? That's in the Bible? That women should... Go ahead, man. No,
I mean, I pulled it up.
I know.
Of course I did.
A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. So do Christian women know these passages? Are they aware of that in the Bible? That they are forced, you know, to become second-class citizens, and that their husband controls them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that that's exactly what you know Christianity. Despite the fact that it does say that in the Bible, or in Ephesians 5:22, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." A couple of verses right after that, it says, "So ought men to love their women or their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself."
Yes.
And so the idea was trying to create this equal relationship and place men and women on this equal playing field in this relationship. And you have to understand, you know, context, like with any story. A lot of evangelical Christians, they see one passage Jesus said and say, that's the law of how every person a part of this should act. And like, no, Jesus is specifically talking to a group of married people, you know, saying that talking to the wives, talking to the husband.
She's so flirtatious. How does it feel to be so persuasive?
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I was talking about an article this morning that that was talking about, and this was in the Salon. It's talking about, you know, the Southern Baptist scandal. And, you know, when you start listening to evangelicals, and I'm always interested in what evangelicals say, because they somehow believe that, you know, their beliefs and their interpretation of the Bible is different than most. And then when you support a man like Donald Trump, you have to ask the questions, you know, how can it possibly be that you can say I'm a Christian and then you follow a man like Donald Trump? And so I was talking a little bit about, you know, some verses in the Bible that have been interpreted by evangelical Christians, who basically want to point out that wives should be submitting to their husbands in many different ways and many different thoughts. When truthfully, you know, that's only mentioned sparingly in the Bible, but when people take advantage of those passages and scriptures and people don't read for themselves, then they can be led down the wrong path, which is what unfortunately apparently in some evangelical households, they take things literally, and that's what happens. So this explains in part why so many evangelical Christians like Donald Trump so much. He doesn't like it when a woman says no to him either or holds power over him in any way. He doesn't seem to like it when any woman has an opinion, wears a suit, doesn't show her boobs, has a brain and a career, and the greatest sin of all, disagrees with his opinion and tells him so. You know, we've got to get to a point where the American people really start investigating what is being fed to us, what is being said. And that's why it's so critically important that you read for yourself. Everything you've ever wanted to know in life, you can find it in a book. Connor, you're a young guy, but I bet you already know that. Whatever it is you want to know in life, it's already written. It's in a book. So if you don't read, then you're at the mercy of people who do read. And unfortunately, in our nation, less and less people are willing to read. And they rely more and more on others to, you know, to give them the information. And that's how we can wind up with the kinds of situations that we wind up with in this country. Let me move on. And I want to talk about this. I talk a lot about the military. And we all talk about how much we love the military. Oh, we love the military. We love the veterans. 37,000 United States veterans are homeless in this country. 37,000 veterans are homeless in this country. Now, you know, and many of them have some disabilities that have been exacerbated or created by their time in the military. Going to the military without many social ills, but come out of the military with all sorts of social ills. Those ills happened while you were representing the government of the United States, and the mental issues that you are dealing with. You should have no problem. Our nation should stand erect and say, we're going to take care of every veteran to the grave, whatever their issues are. We love them, and they have put their lives on the line. And as you hear people say, fighting for this democracy. And so whatever their issues are, we as the American people should be responsible for them. Excuse me. We should be responsible for them. There should never be a veteran without a roof over his head. How is it possible in the wealthiest nation on earth that we have 37,000 homeless vets? And I know that there's been a major effort by other homeless vets, and I know some who are out on the forefront fighting and saying, how can this be? These are our brethren who were sent halfway around the world to fight for democracy, they say, and who have dealt with some horrible, horrible mental issues. I couldn't imagine, and most of you couldn't, winding up fighting somewhere in a different land, somebody that, you know, they say is your enemy and wants to, you know, doesn't want to capitulate to our government. And you hear, well, they don't like our way of life. And so they don't like our way of life. So, you know, they need to understand we're the United States of America. And if you threaten our way of life, whether it's accurate or not, this is who we are, and we're willing to fight for that. And so you send young people, because the military is full of young people. They're not going to send guys like me, for the most part, unless, you know, we're in the reserves. It used to be that the reserves would never go to war, and they would be here once they send the troops overseas to fight. The reserves' job was to protect the homeland. And once they changed to a voluntary military, as opposed to one that was drafted, they were forced then to take those men and women who are the reserves and send them overseas to fight. The training for the reserves, from what I understand, is not as strenuous as it is for those who are full-time military, and yet those young men and young women were sent overseas because there's now no longer a volunteer army or military. I mean, drafted military, it's all volunteer. But now, you know, people who were just there and joined the reserves because it was like a part-time job have been sent to these battlefields and have to deal with all sorts of psychological issues. 37,000 homeless people. Military. We can do better than that. We have to do better than that. They have to be a priority and not, you know, Well, they volunteered, and so, you know, whatever happens, happens. We'll give them a couple trinkets. No. It's an embarrassment. They're military vets who are out donating blood. Not that that's a bad thing. I donate blood. But I don't donate blood to get a couple bucks, you know, or plasma. They do it because they don't have anything else. 37,000 homeless military veterans is an embarrassment. And you and I, as citizens of this nation, must speak out against this atrocity. It's an atrocity. And we're still sending people overseas, you know, 37,252 veterans were victims of homelessness, and the VA processes about 80% of veteran prescriptions by mail. So when a veteran loses their home, they often lose access to the medications that their lives depend on. We got to do a better job. We got to do a better job. You know, either stop sending young men and women halfway around the world to fight for wars that benefit multinational corporations and not you and I, or once they get back, make sure that you take care of them in a proper way. We can do better. We must do better. We have to do better. 37,000 homeless vets is an embarrassment, and our nation should be ashamed of itself. I wanted to, you know, tie this in. Georgia Senator Warnock is stepping up to address this lack of housing and a major crisis that's taking place with these military veterans. Positioned as the E5 pay level within the military, 9 ranks of enlisted member pay for most of the 2013-2020 stationing in San Diego, Deans could not afford housing near the MCA's Miramar and Camp Pendleton Marine bases. To afford a place for her and her son, she had to live 30 minutes away in an area she describes as dangerous, in a home without air conditioning. Still, the cost stretched her finances, and with the added expense of daycare, Dania said her situation was tight. She's in the military. She has a child. What she's getting paid, she can't afford to live. Unless she lives in the worst part of the community. We got to do better. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. What you say? Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I want to revisit a topic that I talked about several months ago, and that was high-speed police chases. And so last night in Milwaukee, again, high-speed police chase. Persons running from the police and run into a tree and perished. And I don't, you know, kind of what I don't understand is people who are so afraid of the police. If you're so afraid of the police, then why do you commit crimes? Why are you out at 2 o'clock in the morning and you know, you got a gun in the car and you're dealing drugs? Why would you, you know, if you're out that time of the morning and you know that you're committing criminal acts and you know, and it's pretty likely that you're going to run into police. Excuse me. What I don't understand sometimes is the mind of people. So you take off running from the police, a high-speed chase. Where you going, man? You know, you're going to get away some blocks maybe. The best you can do is get away for some blocks. You're not going to get away. You know, I don't care if you are Steve McQueen. Now, only grizzled guys like me know who Steve McQueen. You don't know who he was. Okay, finally we got something he doesn't know. But Steve McQueen had the greatest essay at the time, car chase scene in Bullet. Bullet was what it was. It was in San Francisco. San Francisco has these up and down streets, and so Steve McQueen was chasing a guy, and they say one of the greatest, you know, scenes ever, car chase scenes ever. Well, that's in a movie. But we continue, man, to have to suffer with police chases in this country. We just have to get to a point, man, where this has to stop. Hundreds are killed each year in police pursuits, many of them innocent bystanders. I don't think that we should be putting the lives of innocent bystanders in jeopardy. I've talked about this constantly. And it can't just be that the person who's running is solely at fault with these chases, you know. And then you see what happened in, at the end of this. The police say, well, we call off the chase because he was driving recklessly. Well, if somebody's going to begin to run and you chase them, you know, they're going to keep running. Anybody who has gotten into that flight or fight type of mentality is going to remain dangerous all the way until the end of it because they're so terrified of law enforcement. The Brownsville Independent School District Police and Security Services in Texas responded to a suspicious activity call at 9 a.m. Tuesday morning that culminated in an officer discharging his weapon at a suspect who was recklessly driving through the Porter High School campus. BISD announced shortly after the altercation that no students or staff were injured, but that's not always the case. Reports show that on average, more than 320 people are killed each year in high-speed police pursuits, and 27% of those killed are innocent bystanders. Since 1979, more than 5,000 bystanders have been killed During police pursuits in the U.S., according to HG.org, one of the world's largest legal resource sites. Now, many deaths occur when a suspect hits the bystander with their vehicle to escape police. Fortunately, no one was injured as the suspect sped through a scene on Tuesday in Texas. But, you know, we've got to be smarter. We got to figure out a better way to do things. And to me, that's not the right way to do it. Apprehend somebody at all costs. You know, well, they stole a car. Okay, you stole a car. At the end of that, should not mean a death sentence for innocent bystanders. Well, really, man, even the person who stole the car. You know, it's a stolen car. You know, and the price for that shouldn't be death. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.